verses 105 to 112. And I'm going to invite Eve Russell to come and to read that passage to us. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end.
Thank you, Eve. This a passage that speaks to us about the Bible, and it's to be found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17.
You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in the righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
I heard and read of a survey recently, which was looking into the importance of the Bible for Scots today, and people were asked if they thought that the Bible had anything to contribute to their lives, and in particular it emphasised times of trouble or difficulty when they may be looking for guidance. Would they ever think of opening it and reading the Bible? Only between 2 and 5% of Scots thought the Bible worth looking into and reading. Not a great result for a nation that was once known and called the land of the book. What the survey revealed was that most Scots do not connect with the Bible and the message of the Bible and the God of the Bible anymore. And this morning I want, just for a moment or two, to speak about the Bible and to reflect on the purpose of the Bible. What is it for? And to help us do that, I want us to look at one particular text or verse. It's 2 Timothy 3:16, and it's a verse that speaks to us about the purpose of the Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You see, it's very, very important that we understand what the Bible is for. Without a clear understanding of what the Scriptures were given for and how they are to be used, we are likely to get ourselves into all kinds of difficulty as we try to read the Bible. As with anything, we need to know the purpose for which it was designed. I don't know if any of you read yesterday or heard yesterday of the rescue mission that took place on Annaghmore up near Ben Nevis, when a number of individuals were rescued from the mountainside wearing flip-flops. Yeah, it'd be interesting, I'll leave it to yourself to look it up online or whatever, the quotes from the rescuers, these people who'd wandered up onto probably the second highest mountain in Scotland in their flip-flops, wanting to get a feel of sea, because they saw the snow. They thought that they'd never seen the snow before, so that's where they went up there on their flip-flops. I don't know where they were from. Not sure if they were Australian, Pete, or not, but I don't know what they were. But if you don't know what something's, flip-flops are very handy, very useful, but they're not useful if you're trying to climb a mountain or go up on a high hill of 4,000 feet or whatever. If you see a man trying to cut down a tree with a cushion, you can be fairly clear that he's not understood the purpose of the cushion. This may be a very good watch. It is a very good watch. But it's not good if I want to cut bread with it, or clean my teeth with it, or hammer in nails with it. It's only good for the purpose for which it was created. And what Paul tells us here is the purpose for which the Bible was given. And he says, first of all, that it's given that we might have a saving knowledge of God, that we might come to know God. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, is what he says in the previous verse. The Bible is not an exhaustive encyclopedia. It doesn't tell us the times of the high tides at Portobello. It doesn't tell us the nature of the surface of the moon or whatever. But on the matters upon which it does speak, it speaks with truth and integrity and gives us true knowledge. And the Bible is essentially a handbook of salvation. It's a rescue manual. Its purpose is not really to teach us ultimately various things about science, but it's there to teach us about the facts about salvation. It's a revelation of God, our creation in the image of God, our fall into sin, God's plan to save a people for himself through his covenant of grace, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the story of his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. We would know none of these things apart from the testimony of the Scriptures. It's the story of what God has done, is doing, and what he will yet do in the future. And so the Bible is all about the message of the gospel. The big picture of what God is doing. And that's a story that centers on Jesus. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The focus of the Bible and its storyline is Jesus. The Old Testament foretells and foreshadows him. The Gospels tell of his life and his ministry, his death and resurrection. The Acts of the Apostles tell of his continued ministry through the Spirit and through his church. The epistles tell of his person and work, applying that to the life of the early church. The book of Revelation tells about his coming again in salvation and judgment. So the Bible's there to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and about our need of him. It presents us with Jesus as the only person who can bring us forgiveness and make sense, ultimate sense, of our lives. But the Bible has other purposes as well. And in fact, some of these are mentioned here. If I can put it this way, the Bible's not just a rescue manual, it's also a training manual. The second thing that Paul mentions is how that growth and training comes about. He tells us that the Bible is profitable or valuable for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Or it has in the ESV, teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Now, teaching and rebuking are to do with our understanding of the faith, positively teaching us all about what it means to be built up as a Christian, negatively correcting those things that we're in error about. And that's part of the way that the Bible operates. It teaches us about God. It teaches us about those things that we need to know, and it teaches us about things that are wrong in our lives. So if we're Christians and we want to grow in our knowledge of God, we have got to give ourselves to reading and, in some ways, studying the Bible. Lots of people today think they know all about God. Well, I like to think God is like this, and I like to think God is like that. Well, God has spoken to us and he's told us what he is like. And if we want to understand that, if we want to know that, then we have to open the Scriptures and we have to read them and study them. That way, we'll be taught and we'll be trained as God's people. There's another two words that he uses here. He talks about correction and training in righteousness. The word used for correcting is an orthopedic term. It was used sometimes to describe healing or mending or restoring. On a couple of occasions when I've broken my leg playing football, I remember one occasion lying in a hospital bed in Glasgow and they were showing the x-rays of my leg up vaguely up ahead of me. And as through my morphine-induced pain relief, I could see that the bone at the ankle just snapped in two. You know, you could just see it there. They're lovely, you know. Oh. And then you could see when they put the nail through the thing to correct the whole thing and bring it back together, it was mended together. And that's the kind of word that he uses here, correcting, straightening, making it right again. And that's why the Bible's there. It's there to help us correct our lives, to make them straight again, to fix them. Michael Bond, who was an Anglican bishop, and he spoke at places like the Keswick Convention. He said this: in 33 years of Christian ministry that I've gone through, 90% of the pastoral problems I've encountered have as their root cause the fact that the person in question has stopped reading the Bible and praying each day. No wonder John Wesley's mother warned him, either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. The Bible is here to help us be put back together. It has a restorative, life-changing, life-giving, healing power. And that power is because it reveals to us Jesus Christ, and he's the one who can mend broken hearts and restore damaged lives. And many of us here can testify to that reality. Maybe you're here today and you would like to know that power in your life, forgiveness, grace. Then you need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to meet him and encounter him for yourself. And you meet him here, like millions before you, in the scriptures, in the word of God. And the great Augustine said of the Bible, tolle lege, take it and read it. Open it and read it. I told this story before, I'll tell it again. It's about the first Protestant missionaries arriving in Korea in 1884. And they found to their surprise a handful of believers in a fledgling church. How could that have been the case? 20 years earlier, a Welshman by the name of Robert Thomas had sailed up the Dadong River on an American schooner called the General Sherman, and he had with him a supply of Chinese Bibles. The schooner got caught on the mud flats. The Koreans thought they were being attacked, and they killed the passengers and the crew, and they burned the schooner. Not before they'd removed the cargo ashore, cargo of Bibles. And Korean houses, like many Oriental homes, had little furniture, but they had highly decorated walls. And the India paper of the Bible seemed just right for wall decoration. And amongst the educated Koreans who read Chinese, a handful were convinced and converted to Christianity by reading their wallpaper. And so when others came years later, they found a church, a community that had come into being simply through the power of the Word of God, simply through the power of the Bible. Scotland may no longer be the land of the book, but, friends, God calls us to be a people of the book. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the way that they are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that they are breathed out by you and that they are trustworthy and reliable. And we ask, Lord, that as we open our Bibles and as we read them, you might speak to us, you might point us afresh to Jesus Christ, and you might bring into our lives that kind of correction and reproof and that kind of training that we all desperately need to live our lives, not for ourselves, but for you and for others. So, Lord, hear our prayers, receive our thanks, and help us to stand on the promises of your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.